It was a magical summer. Noah was a country boy. Allie was from the city. They met the night of the carnival. They had nothing in common, but after seeing Allie that night, something inside Noah snapped.
Will you go out with me?
No!
No? Damn, my head's slipping.
Okay, fine. I'll go out with you.
No, don't do me any favors.
No, I want to.
Say it again.
I want to go out with you!
All right, we'll go out.
They fell in love, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Do you want to dance with me?
Sure.
This is a good story. I think I've heard it before.
It's like a dream.
So what do you do, Noah?
I work at the lumberyard.
How much do you make at your job?
40 cents an hour.
It has got to stop.
Noah?
He's a nice boy, but he is not for you.
I don't see how it's going to work.
You are not to see him anymore, and that's final.
From the best-selling novel by Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, miss. How's about that date?
Comes a story.
It's normal not to forget your first love, but I want you for myself.
Marry me.
About what we long for.
I saw your picture in the paper, and I just wanted to see if you were okay.
What we settle for.
I have a fiancé waiting for me.
What happened? Who did you choose?
And who we're meant for.
Why didn't you write me? I waited for you for 7 years.
I wrote you every day for a year.
New Line Cinema presents Ryan Gosling, Rachel McAdams, James Garner, Jenna Rollins, James Marsden, with Sam Shepard and Joan Allen in a Nick Cassavetes film.
I read to her and she remembers.
The Notebook.
Say you're a bird.
Say, if you're a bird, I'm a bird.
You're a bird, I'm a bird. And as soon as I heard that line, I'm like, well, that's going straight to the intro.
I was ready.
All right, we're here for 2004's The Notebook, or in other words, Emotional Manipulation, the movie.
My notes get very angry towards the end of this film because I was crying, but I was angry at the same time.
Okay, then we're going to be the same. We're going to be the same on there. I had a roller coaster here of... not even emotions of just feelings towards the movie. And the same, when we get to the end, it's like angry crying typing.
Yeah, angry tears. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done.
Yeah. So yeah, just the, and it, shout out to everybody who helped me try to figure out
Discord,
in the Discord, trying to figure out the terminology for it. Cause afterwards I could not remember the term or the words for it. And we had like schmaltz, sentimentality, Oscar bait, all that stuff in there. But yeah, emotional manipulation was what I was
Oscar
thinking of.
Bait.
yeah, and I don't think this was Oscar bait per se, but I know there's a lot of them like that. The movie Everywhere Close, Everywhere All Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. That's what it
okay.
is. A movie that came out about 10 or 12 years ago. It was about this guy who died. Oh my God, I can't believe, fuck me. It's about this guy that died. And
no, don't say it.
In 9/11, I know.
No,
I swear,
no.
I swear,
no.
It's such a subconscious thing right now. I didn't even think about it until I started explaining it. The movie Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Tom Hanks dies in fucking 9/11, and he leaves this scavenger hunt for his kid. And his kid goes all throughout New York City meeting all these people to figure out something I don't remember. And that was a huge thing about it. I remember because it was one of the worst reviewed movies to ever be nominated for Best Picture. Wow. And people were saying like, no, this is emotional manipulation. It is literally only because it is framed around the tragedy of 9/11 mm-hmm. are people really caring about it. And that's kind of the way I felt about this.
Well, there we go. A few minutes in. There we go. Everyone finish your drink again in the first 5 minutes of the podcast.
That's not even in my notes. I didn't even think. I'm telling you, it is a problem. I think I have a problem now. I really think there may. Okay. I think there may be. All right. Fuck me. Like, where do we even go from here except there? All right. As always, stick around to the end of the episode. We will talk about next week's episode and a new theme for our month.
Yes, I was about to say what it is, but you said we're going to wait until the end of the episode.
We're going
to
wait.
Keep my mouth shut.
Here is a tease. It is one of the most beloved movies of its decade, of its generation. It won Best Picture. It mm-hmm. won Best Actor. Everybody seems to universally love this movie, and I fucking hate it. And yeah. It is historically themed, and I'm going to go off a lot. We're going to get a lot of little intro here to the history, something like that. So again, that's the tease. So wait again until the very, very end where we will unveil the theme and the movie. Email us spotonthepath@gmail.com. Again, any questions, suggestions, any comments, stuff like that. Any question especially, we'll read it off on here. We don't care. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want to know, put it, email us there. We'll discuss it. Anything you want to hear us discuss about real quick. Check out patreon.com/onthepath. 365 days is our love movie of the month,
Lord.
Which we both enjoyed and recommended more than last week's episode, 50 yeah. Shades of Grey.
Far and above better than 50 Shades of Grey. If you're wanting that kind of movie, go for 365 days for sure.
I can't believe I ever am saying that or hearing anybody in like that. We're both there. It's wild. All right. So yeah, make sure to check that as well as all the other stuff in the past, bunch of stuff in the trove there. Check out the Discord, all the social links, all that right there. I have a Texas beer, Ziegenbach, right here.
I like that. That looks nice.
It's a nice little amber Bach. So it's pretty solid.
I have a bottle of water.
Bottle of water.
A bottle of water.
Yeah, not a bottle of water. Yeah, also make sure to rate and review. I have that in here now because we never really say that. If you have not rated or reviewed the podcast, wherever you listen, please do that. It is a major, major help for the algorithm and people coming across other movie podcasts. So here we go. Let's go into Guessing the Gross and Lucy, this movie, released in 2004, budgeted at $29
million. Nice.
One of the lowest we've probably done.
I think it did well. I think people ate this shit up. It's so hard to know like what would do well as a, what is well as a rom-com, you know? I think it did well.
And 2004 money.
Yes, and also like so many more of Nicholas Sparks' books have been made into movies.
I think this was like the first big one, right? Like
yes, I was about to say. I'm not sure if it's the first one, but it was definitely the one that's most well-known. Even if you don't know any of his other movies or stories, you know about The Notebook. It's like a classic at this rate, even if you don't like it that much.
I'd never seen it until yesterday. Somehow I missed out on it. Obviously, in 2004, at the age of 20, I wasn't exactly batting away the women. I wasn't, as Val Kilmer's character says in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I was not knee-deep in pussy.
Right. Okay.
So I had not ever seen this movie until yesterday.
Yeah, I don't remember when I first watched it. It wouldn't have been when it came out because I would have been 11, you know, not super interested in that. But I've seen it a few times. I enjoy it. I think it probably did pretty well. But 2004 money, I'm going to say it got like 90 mil.
That's a good guess. That's a solid guess. It got 117.8.
Oh, wow. They did really well.
That's in a $100 million movie 20 years ago for a teenage, kind of a teenage young adult rom-com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? People love a mid-budget rom-com. And there's that one that just came out recently with Sydney Sweeney that's meant to be really good. What's it called? 2 seconds.
Oh, with the guy.
It's called, it's called Anyone But You.
Yes.
And apparently it only cost about 20 to 30 mil. I saw this on a tweet today, so I don't know how accurate that was. But they've also grossed 170 mil so far. It's only been out for a couple of months.
Holy shit.
So people love this shit. And still, to this day, 20 years later, I still love this shit.
And that's where a lot of movies seem to be, like where it's going, is you don't make a movie anymore for like $40 to $80 million. It's under 40. It's 20 to 30 million. Or it's a tentpole over 100 million, massive, something like that, that you'd make sequels out of, which really fucking sucks because so many movies I like are in that 40, 50, $60 million range. A big thing was always be like a buddy cop movie or a buddy cop comedy action movie was always it. Shane Black, my guy, mentioned Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That was very low budget because he was in, you know, had fallen down at that time. But like The Nice Guys was one that I think was like $50 or $60 million. Hey, Ryan Gosling, when you connect it to that. And it didn't do that well. And it's one of those, unless you're going to go full out or under, which really sucks. I kind of miss those mid-budget Hollywood movies.
Yeah, where there'd be like one superstar actor and the rest are like these kind of undiscovered. Yeah. So they put big money into the main guy.
Yeah.
And then up-and-coming artists for the rest. It could be like their beginning. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. There's Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling in The Nice Guys, which we sometime, maybe we'll do a buddy cop or buddy action comedy Buddy action comedy. What am I trying to say?
Buddy action comedy.
Yeah.
Month.
But there you go. Something in there. Okay. So that was a solid one. All right. Let's get to the tomato meter.
Okay. Yeah. So Rotten Tomato meter this week. This is what the critics had to say. There's a word in here I'm not sure how to pronounce, but I'll try.
Uh-oh.
So it's hard not to admire its unabashed sentimentality, but The Notebook is too clumsily manipulative to rise above its melodramatic cliches.
Okay. What is the word melodramatic?
Wow. No, it was unabashed. I didn't know if it was unabashed or unabashed.
It's unabashed. Yeah. Yeah. Unabashed. Got it. You know what it means though, right?
Not really.
Okay. Like no shame.
Yeah. I thought that it meant something like that. I wasn't sure how to define it.
Okay.
But yeah.
So that, I mean, spot on. And I think it kind of hit up right there. So it's somewhere in the middle. And, you know, so that means it's going to be in the 50. But I do think because this was Ryan Gosling's, I think, his breakout.
Yeah, his big movie.
I want to say Wedding Crashers was actually after this. I think Wedding Crashers was 05, which is Rachel McAdams. So it's probably hers also. It's probably both of them.
I mean, Rachel McAdams was also in Mean Girls same year. Yes. This was a big year for Rachel McAdams.
Damn, man. Like, yeah, in 05. Wow, she did have a year then into Wedding Crashers. I'm going to say that it is not going to be fresh, which is over 60. So that sounds like it's going to be in the 50s. I'm going to say like 56.
Ah, so close. It is a big green splat. They got 54% from the critics.
Fuck.
So close.
God damn, I am just dancing around it. Okay.
But now, the audience is going to have loved this.
That's the thing, though. Okay. So the audience, I'm going to say, but I've been overshooting every time with the audience. And so I want to say in the 80s, but my head is telling me to go in the 70s, but screw it. I'm going to say, let's go with 80. We'll go 80.
Just 80 square?
80 square.
Okay. You went a little bit too low. It's 85 from the audience, which is nice, fresh, tasty popcorn.
All right. Yeah, that seems about right. Where people would eat it up. And by people, I mean every single woman who is now in their mid-30s to mid-40s.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, no, you're not mid-30s.
No, I'm 30.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah, what would have been, you know, at the time.
Yes, it's funny. Teenagers, late teens, yeah.
Yeah, I heard somebody today say, oh, they love this movie and they wish their boyfriend would act like this and do stuff like that. And I'm like, well, keep wishing.
Okay.
Well. Pretty much. All right. So with that out of the way, let's get into the roller coaster known as The Notebook, directed by John Cassavetes, a little bit of Hollywood royalty, Nepo baby. His dad was a big time director, thrice nominated for an Oscar. And I know him most, Nick Cassavetes. I know him most from directing Blow and Alpha Dog.
Yeah, I don't recognize this guy at all, to be honest. It says he's, you know, he does everything. He's a writer, director, he does television, he's an actor. He's, you know, he's got his fingers in all the pies as such.
Okay, I'm instantly going to correct myself. He wrote Blow. Ted Demme directed Blow. That's what it was. He wrote Blow and he directed Alpha Dog. Alpha Dog is the movie that made me rethink enjoying like true crime. Because it's a movie about a 15-year-old kid, and it's a little closer to home because it's about a 15-year-old kid who was murdered in 1999 when I was 15.
Oh,
very much an affluenza kind of thing. Super rich kids in California with no parental oversight, just sell drugs and are like wannabe gangsters. And it's just this horrifically tragic but real-life story about how this one guy owed money to this other guy for drugs. The drug dealer kidnaps the brother, but not really in the sense they just take him and they take him all over town and they party with him and like everyone loves him. But then the guy, the drug dealer gets scared because they're like, yo, this is armed kidnapping. This is like 20 to 30 years. So they end up fucking killing this 15-year-old instead of just getting him back. Eventually, everybody goes to prison. I don't think there's no death row. I think California may not have death row or something like that. I don't think anybody was actually executed for it. But it's just this terrible fucking story where this kid at multiple times could have ran away. He could have left. Mm-hmm. Like they were trying to be like, go. And he's like, no, I don't want to cause any more trouble. My brother's good for it. Let's just end it. And the thing about it is they got all of the notes for this movie from a fucking lawyer who was working on the case. So obviously all of this stuff got thrown out. It almost like ruined this case against the guy. But as the movie's also shot, they'll show like a person and they'll be like witness number four, so-and-so, witness number 11. So it makes it so real.
Yeah.
And I love the movie. It's fantastic. But after about the second or third time, like in there, Sharon Stone plays this mother and she does a great job in it. And the mother like breaks down at the end because they're making it like a
like
a documentary thing almost. And I'm looking and I go, I'm getting entertainment off of these people's horrific tragedy. And it ruined this mother. Like it ruined her life. She never got over it.
Yeah.
And I think, and I just think of, and I know you don't have to do this. I'm like, what if that was like my brother? What if that was a family member? And so many people are just getting all this enjoyment. And honestly, it made me think of any kind of true crime. It made me think of true crime podcasts, something like My Favorite Murder, like one of the biggest podcasts ever. And it's just, you're getting entertainment off of some people's tragedy that they will never get over. And I just can't do that anymore.
I find it really, you're right, because so many people love to listen to true crime podcasts and they'll be like, this is what I listen to when I'm cleaning. I was, you know, it's like this real detailed description of how this woman was murdered. And I'm like, why do you want to listen to that? It doesn't sit well with me. I don't like watching stuff like that on Netflix. I've always found it a bit strange that, you know, there's always a bit of a blurred line as to whether or not they have agreed to the documentary being made. I know there's been loads that have been a bit of a gray area there, but yeah, it's not something I really enjoy watching now.
See, I think the thing there though is, like you said, documentary, and I think that's a big difference. And I'll say, if you have HBO Max, there's one called I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is about capturing the Golden State Killer. And I want to spoil nothing about that. What is great about that documentary is the focus is on the woman doing the investigating and the victims. It is not on how the crimes happened. It doesn't glorify. Yeah. It doesn't go into step-by-step detail of it. The reenactment of it is not in any way fetishy or something like that.
Yes.
So that is excellent. My thing is when it's something like dramatization, and I see Justin Timberlake on screen and Emil Hirsch and all these people, that to me is like the thing. And I'm not judging anybody. People can like whatever, because I realize if I start attacking people who like true crime, I'm attacking 97% of white women out there in their 20s to 50s. So I'm not, I cometh in peace in that sense. But Alpha Dog was the movie that made me really step back and think about it.
Yeah, it sounds like that one takes it a little bit further than normal as well.
Yeah. All right. And so the movie was written by a guy named Jan Sardi, and really nothing kind of stuck out to me here.
No, same. I mean, Mission Impossible, he was credited as a writer.
That was a TV. But... That was the TV series.
Oh, wow. 1990.
That was a series from the 60s to the 70s. So I don't know what that 1990 is about.
How weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know anything about Jan here. He's Australian, so I think his name's Jane.
He's Diananda. Yeah, it's I look at there and I'm like, he wrote The Notebook, a smashing success, and there's never really anything else.
How bizarre.
Too big. Well, you know what? Tough shit. Okay.
Maybe that's for the best.
There it is.
No,
okay.
I like this film.
wait again for that tier list ranking. Immediately, so there's the narrative device, I guess you want to call it, of these two older people in there, including James Garner. As soon as I saw James Garner, I was like, okay, I'm going to like this movie. The original Maverick, he's someone that was just in so many movies, RIP. I'm going to like anything this dude's in.
Yeah, he's got such a familiar face, doesn't he? And he just seems, I loved him in this film. I thought he was a great, like, granddad figure. Doting husband.
That's very warm.
Yes.
Very warm, loving presence, which is good too, because you can see him in some movies and he can really play like an asshole and mean. Just truly one of the fucking just best actors that I think has just ever been around.
Yeah, he's got a ton of award nominations here, but he's won a good few as well.
Yeah, good man there. All right, but so it's basically his narrative device of him talking to this woman who clearly has dementia or Alzheimer's, and it's like, why are they even trying to hide that this is the fucking couple? Like, that's so goddamn obvious.
Like, did you figure it out straight away?
It hit me later. I'm like, are they trying to hide who, like, what this is? And like the kids coming by, I'm like, that's obviously their fucking kid. I don't know maybe
they try and throw you off the scent because they call him Duke.
They call
at
him
the start,
but I'm just like, why would he be fucking talking to this woman telling him this story if it's not them? And then it was also clear that this woman didn't know, like, she had fucking Alzheimer's or something.
Yeah. I can't remember how I reacted to that in my first viewing. I feel like I probably figured it out, but
I didn't think
it's obvious when you know.
Yes, but I didn't know, and it was just obvious. I just don't think they needed it. I think it was just, again, another decision of manipulating some bullshit into
that just didn't need.
Maybe in book form, honestly, in book form, it'd be better because you couldn't see. I don't know. They can't see him. I don't know. Anyway, so we go all the way back to June 6th, and as soon as I heard June 6th in like the 40s back there, got my hopes up. June 6th, what does that ring a bell? Do you know what it is?
Did you think they were going to get... Oh, no, I don't want to say that.
Are you bringing it up to Kennedy?
Some kind of disaster?
No, I personally think... I personally think that June 6th, 1944, D-Day, the storming of Normandy by the Allies. I tend to think that thing. I tend to think that's a good thing. If you think that's a tragedy, then you can do that. You can speak for yourself.
I didn't know what I was talking about.
It's more like the tragedy was liberating France, not ending the Nazis.
I was about to say, did they get, were you hoping they were going to get bombed as if they were?
No, no. So it says June 6th, but it's not 1944. It's only 1940.
Goddamn.
And almost twice, when he lays down on the street, it's a little bit. But he's threatening suicide to get this girl, I guess. Like, he's going to fall and just... 5 minutes into the movie, 6 minutes into the movie, I'm annoyed and I hate this already.
What do you hate? You hate Ryan Gosling?
I hate Kevin Connolly. That guy who plays Finn. The guy who plays Finn. Okay. I don't like him. He's an Entourage. He was in a very funny 90s Married to Children knockoff called Unhappily Ever After. I don't like him. Hated him in Entourage. Just this little runt dude. So he's there. And then Ryan Gosling just... He's great, but he's too maybe young in this movie. I don't know. I don't like the character. I just don't like this instant, the love at first sight kind of thing. I'm just not a fan of it. I get that's also a huge fucking thing that they like to do from movies in like the 30s, 40s and all that. You know, we don't really
like
tend
it's
to,
so romantic. Old yes, school, that it's just da, da, da.
As soon as I saw her, I knew I was going to marry her and I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm like, and again, I know this is 2004. And I'm not judging it for that. But I'm going to judge it for, the fucking trope of using it. And then him just, she doesn't want to be with him. She said no. She wants to go on this fucking Ferris wheel or whatever it is with this guy. He fucking climbs it, putting all of these other people at risk. If this dude falls to his death, he's traumatizing dozens of people. And then he is literally threatening, holding on with one hand, okay? Mm-hmm. I know fucking Ryan Gosling is in good shape. We've seen him throughout life. I want anybody out there to go hold themselves.
Impossible.
I want it. I can do, like I just did, here comes brag montage, okay? I just did 100 fucking pull-ups in 13 minutes. I can do about 15 to 20 of them in a row. I can hold by one arm for like comfortably for like maybe 15, 20 seconds, comfortably. And then
what if you were holding on for your life though? Or more so, what if you were holding on to impress a girl?
Kind of was both life and impress the girl. That may be different, but I'm telling you, within like 10 to 15 seconds, my arm feels like it's coming out of my fucking socket.
Yeah, and it's so, the hanging is...
But just more or less, again, the threatening, like, I don't know. I hate it. I hate it when movies do it. Mm-hmm. I hated seeing it here.
I liked her reaction initially as well when he's like, you want to dance? And she goes, no. Like, who are you?
Yes.
And then she's like, no, who are you? Get away from me. And then still, when he's, you know, hanging there, she's like, yes, fine, I'll go out with you. And she says, well, no, I did that because you were threatening to kill yourself.
You were under no obligation. That is not a legal binding.
It's not. He's like, you said.
In South Carolina, no. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so I liked her initial reaction, and then she eventually caves. And I was like, God damn it.
Allie and Noah is who we were talking about here. Allison? Was that her name?
I think so.
Okay. I literally just drew a blank on there. Allie and Noah, again, Rachel McAdams, we talked about. So annoying. He lays down in the street again. And I swear to God, I was like, if he's laying down threatening again to get hit by a car, I may have to just turn the movie off or just grab a bottle of whiskey and just have to have at it to get through this movie.
No, he was just doing it for fun.
And his dad, he talks about his dad, like, oh, we used to... honestly,
Lime Street for fun.
Did he? I'm not gonna lie, I kind of zoned out. Did he say they did that, or did he just meant we used to look at the stars?
Now I'm questioning myself. I think he used to lie in the street
with his dad.
Maybe I misinterpreted that.
Yeah. So a car obviously is going to come and not run them over. They start dancing in the street and said they will make music on their own. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. How romantic.
The romantic just schmaltz is just being bukkakied on us immediately.
And she does the most horrible, dreadful, dorky laugh, which is just so not Rachel McAdams' actual laugh.
You don't think
so? I hated that. I hated it so much. I just felt like they told her, just be dorky and, you know, not like other girls. Do a dorky laugh.
Do you think she was
so annoying?
She wasn't not like other girls in this movie, was she?
Only in that moment.
In this, okay.
She really was. And I was like, oh, it's so annoying. It's so irritating.
Maybe she was not like other 1940s girls.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, she just lets herself, because, you know, they would do the polite laugh that they've been told to do, and what do you call it in like finishing school,
polite like, society. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, high society. Which again, she is very much old Southern money, and mercy.
Yeah,
when we get to that dad, Lord help me,
I'm gonna
try to hold it in, but here we go.
Tarnation was that mustache.
Well, that's the thing, is he wasn't like a tarnation. He was a hello boy, what'd you go ahead and get over here, sir, at the Sunday table, because he goes to eat there, complete with, and again this is very fucking accurate, complete with just the black servants around, because rich fucking racist ass motherfucking white people in the 40s would have absolutely had black servants, so they mm-hmm. can reminisce about the antebellum days of before the war, and they can be like, yeah, these are basically our fucking slaves here standing around.
Yeah, it was kind of uncomfortable. And then I noticed that they had everybody on the table in white, but Noah was in a black shirt.
Yeah, even Finn and his girl.
I think they were. Are you talking about the family dinner?
Yeah, Finn and his girlfriend were there. Yeah,
I only noticed that Ryan Gosling was in a black shirt.
You're right, because so, I wouldn't have seen that. Because that's the thing too, is what are they doing there? Because Finn also know. Like Finn is also fucking street rat.
I didn't realize they were there as well.
Yeah, because they were there, right? I didn't imagine
that. I don't know.
Because I remember them kind of looking at him, because this one guy asked how much he makes an hour.
Yeah, 40, yeah.
40 cents, and all the monocles just drop out onto the table. Women faint at the thought of 40 cents an hour.
Yeah.
It's just, but the dad, my God, when he shows up on the porch, this fucking mustache, what the hell were they like?
The mustache, the cigar, and then like, I don't know what you call it. It's like a thick, not a dressing gown, but it's like a proper coat.
Like a smoke, like a smoking jacket. Oh no, it is thicker.
Yeah, a jacket of some kind. Yeah, but it just is so insane, and they have these bright colors and
just it's
just wealth.
It's bring this boy to Sunday dinner, and just mm-hmm. starts fanning himself. Oh boy, like he just knows, and it's just my God. So afterwards, they go to the Francis Marion Plantation House, and history, my ears perk up.
Oh, yeah.
Francis Marion, hero of the American Revolution, nicknamed the Swamp Fox.
Oh, hello, Shrek.
Hello, Shrek. And this would not be the only, this would be the first. We're going to have another legendary military leader with Fox in the nickname coming up later. So
cool.
We've got the Swamp Fox, and the most famous fox will be coming up. So Francis Marion fought against Banastre Tarleton and freed slaves who fought for the British. And he was ordered to execute them on sight. So happy Black History Month.
Sorry,
everybody.
He freed them to execute
No, he
them.
Fought against freed slaves.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right, I understand.
The British freed would say, hey, we're not getting fucking slavery. Come fight for us. We're in your freedom. So, but he was basically told, yeah, any freed slaves, like, execute them on site. Which he probably did. He has it's a little bit of interesting, but the movie The Patriot, probably one of the most, I'll say that, historically inaccurate, just offensive fucking movies. The movie The Patriot, okay. Mel Gibson's character was based on Francis Marion, guerrilla fighter in South Carolina, and yet pretty much a terrorist, but it's whatever you want to call it, right? He's a fucking guerrilla fighter against a, quote, invading force or whatever. Mm-hmm. What is a fucking terrorist? Of course, the British are going to call him a fucking terrorist, and Americans are going to call him a fucking hero.
Yeah, I don't remember where the quote's from, but I always remember it's just one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what it is, depending on who you want. And it's a thing that comes up. It's a thing that came up with the fucking idiots over here being like, you can't take down Confederate monuments and Confederate memorials. You're taking down history. And it's like, they were traitors. They rebelled. And then people are like, what about George Washington? And I'm like, yeah, George Washington was a fucking traitor and rebelled. And if they would have lost, the British would have fucking hung his ass from, they should have hung his ass from the tallest tree and not built a fucking monument to him. So yeah, that's how that works.
It goes round and round.
Yes. It's like, it's not that fucking complicated. If you rebel and you win, you're a hero to who you won for. If you lose, you're a fucking traitor. It's not hard.
I feel like it's just never ending with people.
It's, yeah, there you go. Especially God, especially our history. There's a long ass scene here of them about to bang.
Oh, and yeah.
They don't actually do it, right?
No, they don't. They don't. They don't. So they're about to, and then she wouldn't stop yapping.
She would not shut the hell up.
And the friend shows up to say her parents have got every cop in town looking for her because it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's the thing. At first, they're like, oh, they got every cop in town looking for her. I'm like, oh, they overreacted. And then she's like, it's 2 a.m. Well, no fucking shit. Of course they are looking for you. It's 2 a.m. in the 1940s.
Yeah, there's no cell phones, no way to contact saying, hey, mom, I'm just out, you know. In this abandoned house with my new boyfriend.
With your street rat boyfriend. Who, yeah, of course, going to call the fucking police. Now, I was surprised that I thought for sure, like, that the dad was going to really go at him. They made the dad a lot better than I thought they were going to.
I thought that about two characters in this film, one of them being the dad and the other being her future husband, fiance.
We'll get to him later. Oh, man. I got thoughts about Lon.
They set dad up to be this real hard ass, you know, and he's going to be talking to the son. But yeah, he was, you know, relatively reasonable. It's the mum that gets really, really, goes really in on her about it. And we learn later why
that is. We learn why. Yeah. I thought the dad was about to put a whooping on him.
Yeah, like when he says sit down. I was like, he's gonna go get his gun. Sit down. That's where this is going.
Oh, I thought he was gonna get his belt and be like, you will stay away from her, good boy. Now I say, boy, you will stay on your side of the tracks here.
But yeah, he was reasonable.
Yeah, mama says that he is trash. And finally,
that is nasty.
Of course, he's listening in the other fucking room. He's like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and rightly so, Noah. You're worth better than this.
Yeah, and the dad's like, he's not suitable for you, baby. And they break up outside, and she shoves him against the truck.
She's so annoying.
About 17 times.
Yes, she shoves him, slaps him. Did you notice when he starts slapping himself?
Yeah, he was like, okay, you want to start doing it? Yeah, I was like, okay.
She's just slapping him, so he just goes...
Yeah. And again, if this
she's so annoying in this scene.
She is so annoying in this movie. Like she's an annoying character. And I don't think annoying simply because, oh, little woman, girl, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Was she 17 here?
I think she must be. Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember if they said the exact age.
I don't think they do. But obviously,
like late high schoolish or something like that. Throughout the whole movie. I don't like the idea of, we've talked about this, I can't remember the episode of what it is, about no being no and just like moving the fuck on, and I get it's true love and all that shit, but it's like, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
You hold on to that for years, and when we get to him writing, which is actually about to be right here, when he gets to the writing, the 365 letters, like you're writing every day, and she doesn't do it, move on. It is unhealthy to obsess over somebody, especially a day like, you know, this day and age, when you can't see them, when you can't talk to them, when you can't see pictures of them.
Yeah.
Was it 4 years?
There's no communication at all.
There's none.
He writes one for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then it's been another 3 years whilst he's been away. And then eventually she says, I waited for 7 years. So eventually when they come back to reconcile, it's been 7 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we should say she rushes to the lumber yard. She has to leave. Mama's taking her away. Noah, he writes 365 letters, one for each day of captivity in honor of Laura and her hot mafia dom.
Massimo. I hope we can talk about Massimo in every episode forever.
We've got two in a row that we've mentioned in there. And then so he goes, they go to Hotlanta.
Oh my God, yeah, why? Why did they go to Hotlanta?
With the jobs, the big city.
That's where they go?
Yeah, the construction. There's no jobs in Seabrook or Podunk, Seapunk, wherever they are. And then
so
we
this is all in, sorry, what state are we in? Georgia?
Atlanta's in Georgia. The Seabrook and whatnot is South Carolina.
Oh, I see.
Which is just to the east of Georgia.
Got it.
Like, we're in the deepest of fucking deep south. Actually, maybe Mississippi and Alabama is it. But we're in the deep fucking south.
Do you know my knowledge of American states has so improved in the last 2 years of doing this podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think previously I knew like Texas and New York.
And California for like LA.
Yeah. I knew like there was like one on this side, one on the other side, and one that's like in the middle at the bottom. There's still a gray area in that like top left and like top middle. I still need to explore that a little bit more.
You don't need to do the top middle is the only place I haven't been to. Like four states I haven't been to are literally the top middle.
Yeah, so I definitely think, you know, now I know where, you know, Georgia is. So
Joe, you know Florida, right? The Wang.
Oh yeah, I know where Florida is as well.
You got the major stuff right there.
I think I could do a pretty good job of like a geography quiz now.
Yeah. We need to do
it. Try that. Yeah, let's
try that. Oh my God. Like, it is so fucking funny seeing people trying to do it like from memory and where they'll put states. Oh, it'll never not be funny to me.
It's similar to when people do like countries of Europe. In fact, it's almost exactly the same, except Europe's a bit more wiggly than the states. They're very
But this is our Americans doing America doing the United States, and I'm like, oh Christ, this is bad. All right, so a state of war has existed in World War II. Okay, first off, I'm like, hey, World War II, let's go. And then I'm like,
we're going to war.
Well, and then I'm like, why the fuck are there war scenes, legit World War II war scenes in my Notebook movie?
Yeah, this is our nice little easy romance movie, and our boys get sent to Europe.
Yeah, so Finn and Noah get sent, and they chase Rommel across North Africa. And ding, 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 Field Marshal Erwin Rommel of the Nazi High Command, nicknamed the Desert Fox.
Oh, I prefer Swamp Fox, I think.
Swamp Fox is pretty badass.
Yeah, that sounds like sneaky.
Yeah. And what was awesome about that was it literally came from like the British. Like, I think Tarleton said something about, I've been chasing this fox all over the swamp or something. And then they were like, oh, that's badass. We're going to call him the fucking Swamp Fox. Like, that's how you get a nickname. When you get a nickname from your enemies, that's a fucking nickname.
That's so badass.
That is. God, like, damn. That's fucking awesome.
I wish my enemies would give me a nickname.
I know. What fox can I be?
Like, bitch.
Well, you'd be a Robin. You'd be a bit. Yeah. They just call me a cunt. Yeah. What's your nickname? Dumb bitch.
Dumb bitch. My enemies call me that. So dumb bitch. I've claimed it.
It doesn't sound very respectful, though. Yeah, what was it? It was the Bobby B, a dumb cunt with a fat ass.
No, I take that.
You know, your mother was a dumb cunt with a fat ass. It's like, God damn.
Jesus. Holy shit. Oh my God.
You know, getting called a fat ass now is a lot better than probably 25, 30
years
ago.
Yeah, we take those.
Yeah,
we take
good. Those. So they chase over there. And they're in the Third Army. They're in Patton's Third Army. Like, holy shit. Okay, they got it there. You can see the A on his left. And then they go to Europe. And hey, Bastogne, Battle of the Bulge. That is who relieved the Siege of Bastogne, was Patton's Third Army.
Well, so they won?
The Americans?
Apart from Finn?
Yeah, the Americans won the war.
I don't mean overall. I mean that day.
Yeah, like this would be the Battle of the Bulge.
W that day.
Yeah, this is the Battle of the Bulge. There wasn't too many German dubs after like 1942. They kind of had like, they had like 3 years of constantly retreating, very little.
Oh my God, that really tickles me.
Yeah, and so they would win that Third Army Battle of the Bulge, but Finn would not, and he fucking dies.
Yeah. We get a really long look at his dead face.
Why? Pointless. What was his character?
I feel like they wanted to get rid of everything else Noah had. So they got rid of his friend, they kill his dad later, and then all he has is the house and his booze. So then we have to feel sorry for him.
I get the dad. That makes sense. Like, it's aging. The dad gives him the house. The dad was a confidant. He allowed the dad. I believe the dad served a purpose.
Yeah.
And Finn's fucking girlfriend never comes back. So it's like, but I honestly could not believe that he died I didn't know what they would have done with him, but I do think a character like this, I do not believe exists in movies now, because there's no point in there. Like,
it is pointless.
The whole thing you're trying to do with what I think makes modern storytelling better is it's not like a fucking game with NPCs. It's not somebody standing there waiting for the main character to come talk to them so they can do it and they go back to not doing anything, which is what fucking Finn is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he serves a purpose only to introduce Noah to Ali at the start of the, film.
Have somebody relay the message to say, hey, I love you and I'm going away.
Yeah, that's all he really does. He doesn't have a life. He is an NPC.
He's a fucking Morrowind character. I should say Skyrim, but Morrowind's a little bit pretty older niche. Can't always say Skyrim. All right. Holy shit, James Marsden.
Yeah.
Had no idea. He's awesome. Love him.
We love James Marsden.
Which episode we did? Ooh.
Two what?
Two Guns.
Oh, shit.
He was the bad guy in Two Guns.
Oh, my God. That was so long ago.
Do you not remember?
You can't expect me to remember this.
Do you remember anything about that movie?
Two Guns. Yes. Yes, I do.
Who was in it?
Mark Wahlberg.
And?
Holy shit. I can't remember.
Do we need to do that movie again, like, 1 year after? What if... I got an idea for the podcast. How insane would this be? What if we just did the same movies every year, like 1 year on, and we just did the same over and over
them again? Yeah, that would save us thinking of things.
On the Path, Groundhog Day.
I feel like that would reveal my early onset dementia.
As we just
and I'd be like, wow, who's this movie about? Mark Wahlberg.
That would just say the same jokes. We're like, have I said that before? Oh fuck, Denzel Washington. Denzel.
And then we'll get. Oh yeah, it is Denzel. Yeah, yeah, of course, of course, yeah.
Of course.
And eventually, we can just post the same episodes. We can just schedule them for a year from now, and then we can just sit back and relax.
Just relax, and then we accidentally put like one from 2 years ago. I'm like, oh, we meant to do that. All right, so Allie instantly falls in love hard with Lon Hammond again, James Marsden.
Well, when she realizes he's hot.
Okay.
When he's got his bandage on.
Okay. Well, he's like fucking looks like he jumped on a grenade or some shit, or a fucking gorilla beat the shit out of him.
He's but like, you're that guy. Yeah, let's go on a date.
You're the guy. Okay, come from old money too. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. She says she was surprised she fell so hard or for him. She says something like that.
She was like, it said something like that in the narration. It was like she was surprised that she fell so in love.
That's what it was. Felt so in
because
love.
They're like the perfect match. It all worked out so well.
All right. So they get engaged and Noah returns home and I see three stripes on his arm. So NCO, he's a sergeant. Hey.
Oh, is that what that means? But he's like retired now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's decommissioned.
Decommissioned.
I guess we decommissioned. But that sounds weird because he's in NCO. He's a non-commissioned officer. What do you call it when you go? Yeah, when you're discharged. There you go. He's discharged. There you go.
I don't know the words.
Well, like retired would mean he was like lifelong and was done. This is just a discharge, which is what obviously millions of GIs were.
So is that when people got recruited? Or what is the word? The word is going around a lot recently because people think it's going to happen in the
drafted,
UK.
Drafted.
Wait, we don't
conscripted,
use that word.
Conscripted, yeah.
See, if we get conscripted, I'm going to jail.
Do women have to do it?
Well, they're all. This is what men are being like now. They're like, "Oh well, you said equal rights." And I'm like, "Take away my rights."
I have had multiple women be like, "Yeah, equal rights. Stop there. Y'all go die. We'll stay at home." And I'm like, "Okay."
The thing is, I'm certain there are plenty of women who are more than up to the job, and they can go. And only the men who are up to the job should go as well. They shouldn't be sending in people like me who work on computers. No.
But that's the point, though. You don't go to war in that sense. You get conscripted for the effort. You would go be a nurse. You would go be intelligence. Mm. You don't have to. Nowadays, with computers and everything.
Go do computers.
How boomer is that? Nowadays, with computers and everything. Not technology or intelligence. They got computers now for war.
These computers now.
These computers fighting these battles over here. No, so that would be it. But in the U.S., the conscription 18 to 25, I believe. You sign up.
That's
you,
it.
Yeah, men 18 to 25. You have to sign up for it.
No women?
No women. Men 18 to 25.
I'm going to jail.
Okay, but women couldn't be in combat until like 20 or 30 years ago anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts, which... It's not International Women's Month yet, is it? Okay. So oh, this no, is what I think yet. About women. All right. So this is what happens when you give women rights. Oh, they want to do that, huh? Now they don't want to go die in battle, as if like
no,
everybody wants
to
go.
I don't
want to
go die in battle. No, nice. I will. I'll go do computers. I'll be a support player. If you know, I'll.
Okay, you sound like the boomer now. I'll go do computers.
I'll do the computers.
I'll go do the computers. Yeah.
But if they want me to go into battle, no.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine
if you're like a horse? No.
If you're a horse, Christ. You a Royal Marine?
No, I will go to jail. Honestly, some of the TikTok trends at the moment, the TikTok trends, I fucking love them. Where it's like, I can't go to war. I've got a bachelorette party.
You got a Hindu.
I've got a hen do at the weekend. Sorry, I can't go.
You need to start putting that in the memes channel in Discord.
Because
I want to see those. And I don't have TikTok.
I know.
And I keep getting TikToks like sent from people. I'm like, should I be getting it? And I was like, no, don't. I'm like, yeah, but I'm missing out.
Don't do it.
I'm like,
oh,
yeah, but
it is so good.
I know, but they're like, we'll send it to you. I'm like, well, you don't send me enough. So I'm going to do it. So put it in the meme section.
Yeah. If you've come off Twitter for not wanting to be on like a toxic social media, then don't fucking go on TikTok.
But TikTok, I feel, will be like Instagram. It'll be tailored to what I just want to see, you know?
Yeah, but also it's just like, it's so addictive.
Yeah, I know. But it's,
it's
going to be more.
Like, people are funny.
Yeah.
Like, people are very fucking funny.
That's what I'm missing out. All right. Yeah. Okay, put them in the memes. And
I'll send you some more, okay?
That'll get me Jones again there. All right, so they're going to fix up this whole fucking plantation house from the ground up, and he's supposed to do this by himself.
Yeah, he's a top crafter.
Get the fuck. The end result, there's like it, like he completely changed the, he put like full columns up. He took away the balcony and put up like 2-3-story columns. One guy is doing this?
Yeah.
No. Get the
Very
fuck out of
here. Very impressive work, him and his dad.
No, his dad was dead by then.
Oh,
wasn't
right.
His dad
okay.
dead
this
by then?
After the dad died, yeah.
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, after the dad died. That's right, because he comes across Allie and Lon, who are ever so happy together, and he decides to build up the house to win her back. You know, I think maybe he was done when the dad died. Maybe he was.
I don't remember. They moved into the house together because Noah says to him, oh, where are you going to live? And his dad's like, well, obviously I'm going to live with you and help you do up the house. But he doesn't, I don't think he finished it. The dad is dead by the time the house is finished, I think, because in the newspaper photo, it's just Noah.
Yeah, and then, oh, good point, good point. But then, how does he furnish this house?
I know, it's, he does a great job.
It's fully furnished like it's fucking Allie's parents doing it.
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing for money? He later says when he's with that one woman, I don't remember her name.
Martha,
he says, yeah, he has work. What is he? He's not making 40 cents a fucking hour doing this shit.
Surely not.
What's he doing?
We just know that if Noah decorated this house, it would have one chair. In the modern day, it would have a TV and a fridge. And maybe like one pillow on the bed. One sad little thin pillow. And when Allie comes round, she won't have a pillow to sleep on. She'll just have to like have a sad little head on half a pillow with Noah.
Have you ever like gone to a guy's place and that was it?
Not one pillow. There's been two sad little thin pillows.
Dude, I've been just obsessed with seeing like pictures because I think like...
Yeah, single man house.
But I think like, okay, that's like a fucking college thing or something like that. And then people have it and they'll be like mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
Like little buffet table or whatever, TV. And I'm just like, holy shit, people actually...
Yeah, and then they'll have a sofa that they've got off Facebook Marketplace like 5 years ago, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with it.
What's wrong with Facebook Marketplace?
There's nothing wrong with Facebook Marketplace at all. I wish I had the patience to use Facebook Marketplace because people are a fucking nightmare.
We ended up getting it, but we had to pick up this dining table.
Yeah.
We fucking stood outside for like 20 some odd minutes, and eventually I was like, please call them. Tell them we're here. I was like, I'm going to go up to the fucking thing. Because they tell them, like, we're here. Okay. We're like waiting out there.
So I'm
like,
annoying.
I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Just go up there. And then I think they were like, oh, y'all are here. It's like, motherfucker.
I didn't know.
I guess they didn't, but I was like, I'm about to just walk in this fucking door and be like, yeah, we're here. Can you pick up the goddamn table?
I got one chair off there and it was great. Got it for like 20 quid. It was so handy when I first moved into the house. But you're right, like the whole picking up thing was just awkward, mm-hmm. and you know, having to then communicate with people, you're not sure what their vibe is over Facebook Messenger. Like, my mum has a whole antique reselling business on Facebook Marketplace and it does really well. And I'm like, how do you have the patience to deal with these people?
Sounds like so many things could go bad. I've thought about that as I'm looking to buy a house now.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'll fucking completely leverage all the money for a down payment. But then what doesn't really hit on is, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to completely furnish this house.
Start brand new. I had to when I moved in here. I had nothing apart from a garlic press.
Hey, that's all you need, right?
Well, I'm super glad I still have that.
All right, Allie is getting her wedding dress fitted in. Girls. I'm like, did women in the 40s act like this? I don't think so. I don't think
women ever act like this. This is This is women written by a man, Nicholas Sparks.
Men writing women. You don't think?
Yeah. I think she screams all the time through this film. She's like,
they all were just like,
nobody screams like this. They're jumping up and down screaming.
No, and it also has to do with Ryan Gosling's look with the flowing hair in the beard. And I'm like, we are in the 1940s. Okay.
Mm.
If he's looking like this for longer than like a week, he's getting fucking arrested as a fucking kid toucher and a killer.
Yeah. He does look like a bit of a bum.
Yeah. And I'm like, this, he looks like he's in fucking 2004. And it's just, that's not in right there. So, but she sees Noah's picture about the restored house. Ooh, how serendipitous that it's right there. She goes to see Lon. And another thing that I think may be anachronistic, and I should probably know this again as the history. Lon sits down and goes, so what's up? I'm like, did people say like what's up in the 40s like that?
But I feel like he didn't mean it in the way we'd be like, oh, what's up? No, he means like, what's up? Because she's feeling weird. Like, what's up with you?
But the way he does it goes, so what's up? Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't like, sup, girl. He wasn't like that. Yo, sup, girl.
Yo, Allie.
Yeah, yo, Allie, sup. No, but he's just like, so what's up? I don't know. Yeah. It could be one of those things. Because I remember there was something, I think it was like, dude. Like, dude is something that I'm always like, dude, it's like an 80s and 90s thing. That's like a fucking 50s thing. It's just it's like a California thing. And right, so it just didn't fully fucking catch on to everything until the fucking Ninja Turtles or something. And so that was one of those things. I'm like, oh, that's kind of old. So I don't know if this is it or not.
Oh, I would have loved if he was like, yo, Allie.
Yo, Allie, what's up,
dude?
Yo, Allie, what up, bitch? Yo, what up? That would have been out of place. That would have taken me out of the movie. Yeah. Yo, what up, bitch?
Yeah, I would have been fully Team Noah at that point.
Yeah. But okay, here we go. Let's get into Lon right here. He seems like too good of a guy.
He's a great fucking dude.
Too good, I would say.
I was expecting in this, you know, classic romantic trope for him to be an asshole and us to be like, girl, run away, go be with Noah. Yeah, he might be poor and a bum, but he's nice to you at least. Lon is great.
I kept waiting for the abuse, like you said, or the controlling aspect, because he's business. And I kept like right here when she's like, I need a few days by myself. And he's like, go for it. I'm like, this dude's awesome. Like you, and I'm glad that it came out to that. And this is why Allie fucking sucks. She doesn't deserve him. You have me rooting. I know he was like a fucking World War II vet and all that stuff. And you know, moment of silence for a World War II vet. Okay. God bless those motherfuckers. Mm. But this is some fucking incredibly rich, incredibly privileged, wealthy Southern businessman. And you have me rooting for him. That's how much you suck, Allie.
Yeah, it was so... It's when she goes, I don't paint anymore. And I was thinking, oh, shit, is she accusing him of, like, stealing her independence or making her stay at home and cook and clean or something? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't even know you liked to paint. Go and paint, girl. Like,
bitch, go paint.
Take a few days away if you're having pre-wedding jitters. Like, yeah, go for it. And, like, to paint and visit your family. Do whatever you like. I totally understand. I'm like,
wow. He's so understanding.
I love him. I'm going to go out with James Martin.
Yes. As I'm sitting there, I keep thinking, are we, we're not supposed to hate him, right? We're supposed to be happy for him. Mm-hmm. Which I'm actually choose to think. I choose to believe that he actually fucking ended it in their talk. They don't show what happens. He has a great line, and we can skip to that there, where it's just, he's like, I shouldn't be having to convince you to be with me. And then it pretty much ends right there. And it doesn't say what happens. The next scene is her going to see fucking Noah and all that. I'm like, I choose to think he goes, I shouldn't have to convince you to be with me. That's all I need to know, that we're not right for each other and that you need to be with him, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't get crazy jealous rage.
No.
This dude is awesome.
Mm-hmm. When he says, when she comes back and obviously tells him about the whole affair she's been having, he's like, I either have to shoot him, something else, or I have to leave you. And he admits that he wants to be with her still. But you're right. He's like, but I don't want to convince you to be with me. And I agree. I think in the end of that conversation, he probably was like, this isn't right. You go be with him.
Yes.
He was such an honorable man.
Such an honorable man. And I just updated our script there
for
the D&D class. I'm like, hey, we got to put him in there. All right. Back in the present day, old Noah, who I guess the name is fucking Duke, has to go see the doctor. I'm like, well, he's as good as fucking dead.
Oh, shit. Like, yeah. I forgot about that part.
As good as dead right there. I'm like, he's a fucking death sentence the screenplay just gave him.
I think we already heard that he's had two heart attacks already, but he feels fine.
But he feels fine. He feels great. The kids come to visit in this present time. And even like all of the kids are just like, dad, let her go. Yeah, mom's too gone. Blah, blah. I'm like, what? Why? Why? They don't have to be like this.
I know. And I think they say that dad's been living there for a few months. And he rightly is just like, that's my girl in there. Like, your mother is my home. I don't want to go home and sit by myself.
Yes, it's the end of his life.
Yeah, I'll just hang out with your mom here. It's fine.
And then to the kids' credit, they're like, yeah, we'll take shifts doing it. Mm-hmm. And Noah's just like, yeah, this is my life. This is my girl. This is my wife. This is your mother. Y'all have families. Y'all have lives. Like, it's okay. Like, y'all go do your thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my thing. And like, I don't know. I actually really like that he's not holding on.
Yes.
To his kids or anything like that. He's seen them grow up. There's all grandchildren there. They all seem to be healthy, happy, successful. Uh-huh. And it's like, my wife is gone mentally. I only have like a couple minutes, it seems like, at a time with her. I'm going to try to do it. So I actually like that part where he basically tells the kids to go fuck off.
Yeah, kids, like, come visit if you want. We're here if you want to come say hello. But otherwise, don't bother me. Stop trying to pull me away so you can visit me in one place and her in the other. Like, it makes perfect sense for him to want to be there.
Yeah, and while we're on the topic of there, and if it were the kids, if it were me, if the kids didn't want to come back and they're like, mom is gone, like, it's dementia, they don't want to see her like that, I think that is perfectly reasonable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably, I haven't actually went through it myself with any family members, but I think it's probably one of the most difficult things you can witness someone you love go through.
Oh, I can't imagine anything worse. And like, it's one of the things that has almost convinced me that there is absolutely zero chance and no possibility of a compassionate God or higher power is the existence of dementia. Like, what kind of again, compassionate, not omnipotent or anything like that. What kind of compassionate, like, creator being would fucking allow the dementia, like, to allow? And I know it's dramatized here, but I've heard stories about people, you know, they've had it, friends, family, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of fucking being would allow something as horrible like that to exist?
Yeah, it's just so horrific. And, like, you kind of grieve twice, I think. You grieve the person you knew, and then you have to grieve again when they finally actually go.
Yeah, and I would think if it's long enough, you wouldn't even grieve when they go. It would be merciful.
It would be a relief, like,
Yeah, it would, because like they talked about, again, I don't know if it is like this where they would just snap to like that and be like, oh my God, who are you? Da, 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 like that. I don't know if it is truly like that. That seems very, again, dramatic. But again, just it's not them. Like that's the body. You see it, but they don't recognize you. They don't recognize this stuff. That's not the person that you've known and loved.
Oh, it makes me upset thinking about it.
Oh, it like gets me
so horrible.
Oh, yeah. It gets me like choked up, and it gets me almost again like angry of the sense of, again, just the whole, I don't know, we don't need to go down that rabbit. We'll watch the movie Dogma someday, and we can get all of the religious stuff out in that movie. Did not like dragging him. But it honestly was that and, like, childhood cancer, seeing a friend's niece die a slow, horrific brain tumor at the age of, like, 4 was like was the things that, like, convinced me there is absolutely no compassionate being out there. Like,
no creator.
No, just exhibit. If there is, they don't give a shit about us, or they can't do anything. Exactly. It goes the Epicurus thing, the Epicurean thing. And so we'll do some philosophy thing. We'll dogma. We'll do all that in. That'll be fun to do. All right. So now we get the rain scene from the poster.
Oh yeah. I think this is where, wait, is this the first night she shows up at the house or the second? This is the second day she comes back to the house.
I believe. Yes. Yes, it is.
The first night they just have, like, a drink and he's like, can you come back tomorrow? And yeah, this is the scene for me. He takes her out and it's so beautiful. Like, I used to think they were swans, but I actually don't think they're swans. I think they're geese. Because they don't have nice long
necks.
They're
probably geese.
So I think they're geese, white geese, not swans.
They're probably geese,
And it's just so beautiful. Like, this whole scene is just really beautifully shot. And, like, obviously, Rachel McAdams is stunning. But yeah, the rain is so great. And this is one of the big lines here where he says it wasn't over and it still isn't over.
Yeah, she says, why didn't you write me? I wrote every day.
I wrote you 365 letters every day for a year.
So sex scene, it's definitely not 50 Shades of Grey or 365. So it's like,
this is boring.
Boring. Yeah, this isn't doing anything. Martha shows up. Allie,
holy shit.
Allie is super excited, and they definitely had a threesome, right?
No, this isn't 365 days. Come on now.
I choose to believe they did.
I find this thing so weird. Like, Martha realizes instantly that his one true love is in the house, and she's like, can I come in and meet her? I was like, that's weird. And then Allie comes out, invites her in, more weird, and then she stays all day.
Yeah, because they're banging. Like, clearly. Why else would... Yeah, why else?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they maybe just ate the cake.
This is a weird scene. Like,
yeah. And then they kiss goodbye as Allie watches from the window. And I was like, are they going to talk about that? That was
and then
weird.
And then Martha, like, I don't, what happened? Martha was convinced that she wasn't for him. I'm confused.
I don't know what the purpose of this was.
I don't either. Is it his closure of his relationship? Maybe.
Maybe it's his closure. I think that was her closure for Martha. I can see that. Yeah. I guess so.
All right. So she starts painting and she decides to answer his fucking door, like, wrapped in a blanket.
Yeah.
Okay, you idiot.
Yeah. And she's, like, painting topless first.
That's what I'm saying. And then she just grabs, oh, I'll answer this guy's door where I don't live with my fucking cheating on my fiance here. Oh, it just happens to be your fucking mom.
Yeah. Why is her mom?
So her mom shows up and decides to drive around and show her some poor that she used to be in love with. And it's like, oh, like mother, like daughter.
I find this so, I didn't know what she was trying to get at. Because obviously she's been so anti-Noah the whole film. She's like, don't do this. You need to go and be with him. But then when she goes and shows her the man she used to be in love with, which is essentially her version of Noah when she was younger, she went out with this working man. And she, like, breaks down in tears and she, you know, says to Allie, I hope you make the right decision. And I'm like, wait, do you want her to go with Noah or not?
Yeah. And she's very much like, and she drops a goddamn it. I'm like, oh shit, she's serious. And she was like, I love your father. He's taking care of me. He's been very good to me. He's been better to me than blah, 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 blah.
It's
which
like,
is
who are you trying to convince?
Which is pretty much, she's saying, like, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. And I think that's what it is she looks at that guy and realizes I would have been personally happier, but it's the comfort. And Noah calls her out on it, I think, later on. It's a comfort thing, which, again,
security.
Judging by the standards in 1940s, USA, deep South, if you're a woman, you are not fucking working. There was no girl bossing back then, okay? No. That's what you were trying to do. You were trying for the security. So as long as you find a guy that you're moderately sexually attracted to that doesn't beat you, you fucking hit the jackpot. And rich, that is the jackpot.
Yes, Lon is the full package. I don't care if he doesn't, you know, make your house blue shutters. He's a great man.
They should have at least said that he had like erectile dysfunction or something.
Give him something that was wrong with him.
Yeah, and just instead of being like, you know, some dynamite dick or something like that. I don't know.
He's so much fun. Like, I don't know. It's just, he's just such a good guy. He's so handsome.
Damn, she sucks. But Noah and Allie argue, and they're just like, yeah, this is arguing. This is what we do. He calls her a son of a bitch, or she calls him a son of a bitch, and he says something about her being arrogant. And they're like, yeah, it's what we do. We fight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think constant fighting is good.
No, I hate this whole glorified like fighting and always it being conflict. Romantic. Always conflict. It's the same sort of thing that'll be like, oh, you know, can't do that tonight. They'll ball and chin, not letting me out. I'm like, oh, so you hate your wife? Cool. That's normal.
I'm telling you, it's the biggest, I don't know, conundrum or thing that I just don't fucking understand, because this one podcast I listened to is two guys that worked on this radio station that I worked at, The Ticket. They quit and they're doing their own podcast. And so often or not, and it's not playing for radio. A lot of times, you know, they'll be making jokes or playing for radio. They'll just always talk about how they look forward to having like time alone. And being like, but, and I'm just like, I get there's times when you need to be alone. That's fine. Your own time, women's time, you know, girl time, men, all like that. But I just don't understand that they're just like, oh, yeah, whenever I go somewhere, the wife asks, who is it with? Where are you going? And I'm just like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't fucking get it. And that's not to just brag up or talk about my girlfriend or relationship I've had. I just would not do that. I would not be with someone who had to question everything I did, who had to know where I was or anything like that or what. Now, if it's just out of curiosity, oh, where are you going? What are you doing? That's fine.
Yeah, but that's the difference.
Yeah, the way the guy was saying it was basically like they have to keep tabs on where you're at and they can't go out. And there's so many times I know it's easier being single when I'm just like, hey, let's go get a drink. Let's do something. And they're just like, yeah, you have to give me a month. And
yeah.
I'm like, I get that.
Checked out.
I get that you have kids and I get all that. But you can't, she can't fucking watch the kids for a Friday night, and then she and you watch the kids for her to go with friend. That's the kind of shit that I don't fucking understand. Like you said, the ball and chain aspect. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that mentality of being with somebody and it not being good. Like, why
and
are you
there?
Not
being fun and like enjoyable, and people just like seem to really resent one another. I notice that a lot when I see people speaking to each other, and I'm like, ooh, I didn't quite like that. Just the way people speak to, you know, their tone that they have with their partners is sometimes a bit strange.
But I get the boomer aspect of it, where a woman had to be taken care of because they couldn't work and they couldn't provide and they needed to be provided for. I get that.
Oh yeah.
And it's like marriages of convenience, but not in 2024. Like, it's just, and I know some people are just, they're addicted to trouble. And they need to argue and they need that conflict, which is another fucking thing. Boys, girls, men, women out there, as soon as you think that's a thing, get the fuck out. Whether it's a guy or a girl that is always picking fights or doing something like that, that's their MO. Like, that's in their blood. That's in their DNA. Run away.
It's not going to change. Yeah.
No, it's not. That's just some people like that. And like I said, I see it with like students at school where some people, they just, there has to be problem. Like, there just always has to be a problem.
They get bored like Allie.
They must. Oh, yes. Run away from Allie since you know it. Idiots deserve each other. All right. So she, what happened? She almost in. Oh, that's right. As she's leaving, she almost, in quotes, gets in the slowest head-on collision ever and opens up one of the letters. I think it must have been the last letter because I think he says, I'm done writing, blah, blah, blah. I hope to see each other. We can da, 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 da. And then she fucking goes, talks to Lon. Lon still won't really break up there. As we talked about it, the dude is so solid, and he finally fucking dumps her dumbass.
Yeah, I think we need to do some digging and find out what happened at the end of that conversation, because I think he did.
I refuse to dig. I just have my own headcanon. That's
we
what
just
happened.
Decide. Okay,
oh, that is 100% what happened.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, I mean, this scene, I was just, I think I messaged you being like, he's being way too understanding. This guy should be pissed off.
Dude, he should be pissed off, or it just, fucking end it. Like, I wish he would have just been like, I don't deserve this. Like, yes. I deserve to be with somebody who wants to be with me. I wish they really would have shown. I wish they would have shown that conflict or shown that he dumped her. But I get because we're supposed to fucking like her.
Yeah.
And want him and her to be together, or want Noah and Allie to be together, that mm-hmm. we can't. And I'm like, movie, you have failed on getting yeah. me to like anybody other than Lon.
I want to know who Lon's getting with. I want to see Lon get together with Martha.
Live happily. There you go. There you go. But now he's probably a bit too stuck up for that. I don't know.
Mm. But yeah, Allie shows up back at Noah's house and just shrugs her shoulders like, Lon dumped me, so I'm back here.
It's a living. Like a fucking Flintstones cartoon. All right, so adult Allie remembers. And for the most part now, I think that we are in like the modern day now. I think it's pretty much over, like they're together.
Yes, yes.
And this is where I start angry cry typing, because it gets to me. And I think it's one of those, this is emotional manipulation. I am mm-hmm. not crying or tearing up because of the characters, because of this just unbelievable love story. I'm first and foremost doing it, one, because James fucking Garner is a goddamn treasure. He's acting his ass off. He's so much better than this stupid movie. And we start again, I think this is just simple empathy, where you can just imagine yourself. And again, maybe it's easier if you're in a relationship with somebody and you imagine this, and you imagine a loved one, even a mother and a father or something like that, of losing them like mentally and seeing it slip away and it not be a person. And then in this react like angrily and just not knowing, and there's nothing you can fucking do. It's heartbreaking.
I think it was like he keeps trying to grab onto her, which then obviously frightens her more.
It's just worse.
And he's like, he's grasping at it, just desperate for her to stay.
Saying
and
like, don't leave me.
Worse. It makes it worse and worse. And he then breaks down, which is when it got me. It's when he starts crying for me.
Yeah. And then all of it in this whole thing, like that's pretty much the rest of the movie. They take her away. They put her in this like fucking room. And at this point right now, I just was like, I'm not paying attention to the goddamn movie. I'm angry. Da, da, da. And we get the schmaltz. And we get the sappiness. Do you think our love can create miracles? Can our love take us away together?
Do you think our love can kill us? Can kill us? Whoa.
Yeah, take us away together. Can it kill us? And it does, because they die together overnight.
Yep, they do.
And that's scene.
It. Yep.
Oh, man. And that is The Notebook 2004. We'll do our final thoughts here in a minute where we can sum it up. Just the D&D classes. I don't have anything for Noah and Allie down, but I had down Finn. I had down Finn. Finn is a fighter. Motherfucker died fighting the Nazis.
He really did, yeah. Good for him.
Good for him, fighting his ass off in there. And then we have Lon as a paladin.
I like your one for Lon. Fuck, why do you have him as a paladin?
Because the paladin's dude has a fucking code. He's so nice. He's not going to oath break it. He's not going to give her a backhand that maybe by 1940 standards... Maybe by 1940 standards, she deserved. Or giving her a spanking, but not in the 50 Shades style.
No, let's not do that.
Yeah, so we say this every fucking episode, and we never fucking do it. We need to find a class for dipshit, which is whatever that class is, we're going to put Noah and Allie. There's some fucking dipshits.
She can be rogue because she's sneaking around, cheating on her man.
She is sneaking around with, but then she admits it, so she kind of, but she, definitely rogue. She's doing some sneaking over there at Seabrook. Noah, what is a defining characteristic of Noah? What separates him as a character? What makes him a fucking unique character?
Initially, it was his determination.
But the persistence is bad, because it's persistence in like women saying no. He won't take no for an answer from a woman. From a women's.
From a women's.
From a women's.
I don't know what class he would be.
Dipshit. Okay, so he's the dipshit class. Allie's the Allie's the rogue subclass or multi-class into the multi-class into the idiot. The worst. That's what she is. Okay. There's D&D classes. All right, here we go. The tier list rankings. Do you know what yours is?
I'll go.
All right. So this again wavered all over, and especially as the episode when we talked about. So as always, S is the highest, and then A and B are recommends, C and D are not recommends, and then we have the Valentine's Day tier, the V tier, put in for that movie, which is just at the very, very bottom. At first, like I said, 6 minutes into the movie, I hated it. I was annoyed my ass off.
Really? And then,
yes, because I just didn't like the characters. I didn't like the threatening again, the suicide, because I'm going to kill myself. You don't go out with me. Like, how romantic.
I know.
No, that's bad, 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 bad lesson. And then the movie, I thought, it got actually better as it went through the years. And like I said, the World War II stuff. The name dropping,
like that.
Name dropping Rommel, and then Francis marrying the Swamp Fox. I'm like, okay, I'm interested now. You've got my historical itch to scratch right there. Or you scratched my historical itch.
Mm-hmm.
But the emotional manipulation, again, that's the word, the term of the episode. I hate it, and I know there's an episode of Futurama called Jurassic Bark. It is a beloved episode. It's what everybody always says, or I shouldn't say everybody. It is always in the pantheon of it. It's the top three. It's the top five episodes. It is tremendously sad. But I saw an article, and I couldn't find it. It's like it's got scrubbed, where the writer of the episode said that he ended up not liking that episode because of the emotional manipulation and the narrative device they used to deliver this crushing, soul-crushing blow at the end of the episode. And when I heard that, and when I read that episode, or read that article, I should say, that's what turned me on to stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And so at the end, when I'm crying in there, like blowing my nose, I'm like, this is not earned. This is like that Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. I can't think of anything else other than that. This bullshit sentimentality that just isn't fair. And some people are like, oh, that movie's just so sad. You know, it's good. I'm like, but it's not good because of the writing, because of the story, because of the characters. It's only good because they've thrown in this dementia plot line where anybody with half a fucking soul would be teared up at it. And you know what? I'm going to lob this grenade out here at the end. Maybe that's the beginning of Up as well.
Oh, okay. I've never seen Up.
The first 7-8 minutes has everybody fucking crying. And it's sad because it shows a couple go through the years, and it ends with an old couple and a fucking gut punch. And I'm starting to be turn on that as well, realizing it's just, it's not doing anything other than just showing us a set. Like, you're going to fucking cry if you're halfway a fucking human.
You think it's an easy win?
It's such an easy thing, but I didn't hate this movie. I would watch it again, but never on my own. Mm-hmm. And so this is a very, very good representation to me of the C tier.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Charlie.
I'm going between C and B.
Oh, Bravo or Charlie. Here we go. Yeah, so you're going into recommend and not. Yeah. So this is you got to talk this out here.
Because I feel like there's certain times when I would recommend this film if someone's just like, I'm having a, you know, when you just want to have a good cry, but also you don't want to watch something super depressing.
Like Hotel Rwanda or fucking like Schindler's List. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I feel like this film is nice enough that you enjoy it and the story's kind of interesting. You have these interesting enough characters and there's some beautiful scenes and you get your little cry at the end if that's what you're feeling. There are certain times when I would recommend this. If someone was just like, what's a good movie to watch? I would never be like, oh my God, you need to watch The Notebook. But if someone had the need for it's not feel good, is it?
A feel good cry. It's just a good cry.
Yeah, it's like a nice little romantic pulling on the heartstrings kind of film. I would give it a B, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to go B.
It sounds like a B, especially because I know you came into the movie liking it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that I couldn't remember loads of it, but I was like, I know that I enjoy this for what it is. Yeah,
no, I think that's a perfect B tier, like you said, where you would recommend it for certain things, but not all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm not, it's not life changing, but it just, it is what it is.
Man, so the old Siskel and Ebert, we've got a thumbs up and a thumbs down. We're about to fight. All right.
Sorry.
All right. So again, stick around here after the outro to find out the theme of Match as well as the first movie. Again, email us podonthepath@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, comments, all that. Check out patreon.com/onthepath. All the extra bonus stuff, only $5, really helps us pay for the Zoom and all that other fun stuff in there. And rate and review as well if you have not done that. Lucy, where can we find you?
You'll find me at Lucy J. Robin on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Discord.
All right, find me on Discord in there. All right, we are done with the month of love. Aww. Despite today's recording being the day before Valentine's
Day. I know, it's the 13th, because I'm going to Northern Ireland for a couple of weeks, so we got to do some early recordings. So, yeah.
All right. Happy Valentine's Day, we are doing it. Yeah, yeah. All right, so we get to March with Oscar month.
Yay!
And so the thing
I'm excited
here,
for this one.
It is. And so kind of the thing here is it's basically... We have one in there that didn't actually win an Oscar, but it's an Oscar-winning director. So we kind of go a little bit over there. It's basically something that's won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, something big. And we are starting off the first episode with a horrendous piece of shit, Forrest Gump.
You really hate it?
So I really do hate it, but I'll also admit the movie This Is the End.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with it?
No.
Okay, it's... Seth Rogen, James Franco,
all
playing exaggerated. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Baruchel, the How to Train Your Dragon's own. There's a scene in there where they ask, like a hipster, and they ask if he likes Forrest Gump. He goes, "No, it's a horrendous piece of shit." And
so that's formed your opinion of it.
That line has stuck with me. I here's the thing. We'll get into it. It's a boomer wet dream.
Yeah,
I don't like how they portrayed certain groups that they went through history with.
Yeah.
And I think at times it trivializes and draws unnecessary humor to what needs to be serious fucking scenes of what he goes through. And so I have not sat down and seen it in God knows how long.
Oh, Sam, years.
Yes. And so I'm going to be interested again in that. But I'm also... I teach U.S. history, obviously, and we just got through civil rights. And so a lot of the stuff is like right in there to do it. But no, I fucking hate it. It is also the movie that I'm pretty sure won Best Picture instead of Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's also, this is the 30-year anniversary.
Of Forrest Gump?
Came out in 94.
Holy shit.
I know. So there we go.
Howie.
There it is. Next week, Oscar month, Forrest Gump. I'm not going to do the voice because then you probably, I don't know if you can do that anymore. Oh, I'm going to do the voice. You know I am. You know I am. All right.
Okay, I'll prepare mine as well.
Till our final episode next week. Bye.
Bye.